to a whole other level, really get deep in the Word, because we're in a very strange time. It's the birth pains. It's the end days. It's the time for the church to really be the church. And so I've put a whole new series together that I'm calling Transformers, not, you know, the bumblebee guy and all that stuff that changes from a tractor trailer to a robot. But we are called to be transformers, to change things. I'm going to do a series of sermons along this line, and I want to get really deep in the Word, almost like a Bible study, but I want to minister to you, and I want you to really grab a hold of what God is saying in these days, because the church is needed more today than it ever has, ever. So go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I know many of you have read this before. Maybe this is a review, but I'm going to hopefully open up and pray and ask God to open up the eyes of our understanding, that He would grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, His Word, and be the church that God has called us to be. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Everybody there? Tom? Oh, you don't you love your wife? See, Sharon, so he says he doesn't need his Bible because he has his wife putting the words up on the screen. What a wonderful guy you are. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. You there yet? Say amen.
Amen.
If not, say oh my.
I'm sorry.
Just because you're getting a little older. All right, verse 12. Ready? It says this. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So I want to lay a foundation today before we really get into the meat of things. I want to lay a very strong, detailed foundation of where we're going to go, okay? So notice this one scripture. Paul tells us this, that ultimately our fight is not of people against people. It's not. He said that is not our fight. He says ultimately when you get down to brass tacks, if you really dig down the foundation of it, our fight, the reason why we wrestle, the reason why we argue, the reason why we hurt one another, the reason why we're at where we're at is not because of you against me. It's because there are powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness that is working behind the scenes. And unless you understand that, it will always be a fight between person and person. Race against race. Political party against political party. I'm going to be really, really blunt today. I'm going to be really I'm going to be very non-politically correct. I am going to address things that need to be addressed.
Amen.
And I'm going to do it scripturally. Okay? Because the time has come for the church to arise.
Amen.
So he's very clear here. He said there is a satanic force, there are fallen angels, there are demonic spirits that are actually working behind the scenes, manipulating people so we think the fight is me against you. And he says it is not. And the word wrestle in the Greek we know is hand-to-hand combat. It's a fight. He says we do not have hand-to-hand combat. Your confrontation is not between me and you. It is ultimately between these demonic spirits that are operating behind the scenes. And he says this, that in order to fix things, you have to deal with that.
Amen.
And if you're not dealing with it, things will stay the same. If you've read anything, if you read in the Gospels how Jesus operated, he was casting out a lot of devils. You don't see that today. At all. When he went up to somebody who was in his face, said, "Devil, you come out of him." When Paul operated, he was walking, there was a lady, it says, who constantly said nasty things about him and his ministry. Just ridiculed his ministry. He's not godly. He's no good. He's not of God. For 3 days he put up with it. And then finally turned around. He didn't slap her. When she said something, he didn't say back, "Oh, you're just that." No, he didn't do that. What did he do? He said, "Come out of her, devil." And it was done immediately. He knew where the ultimate fight was. And the reason why we're stuck in this continual just upheaval in this world, to me it seems like all of the demonic powers have united. Because we're seeing things we've never seen before. And unfortunately the church has gotten sucked into it and just been scratching our heads and like, what do we do? What, I don't know what to do about this. Well, let's just take a side. No. You can't take sides. You cannot take political sides with this. This is the time the church to stand up and say, "Devil, you cease and desist in your operation." Amen. Now let me just show you some things. Let me just break down these words that Paul uses. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Now when I go through these, I'll go real quick, but you may understand why things are bothering you. Why your life is where it's at. Why you feel like you're stuck in this cycle. The word principality in the Greek means ancient. In other words, see now Paul is describing, listen, Paul describes a list of demonic powers. And he says one of these is an ancient spirit. It's an ancient demonic spirit. In other words, it's been around from the beginning. In other words, it's been here a lot longer than you have. And it knows what you did last summer. That's important. Because they've been around so long, they know your past. And these are the ones that continue to bring you back to those times to keep you trapped in your past. Specifically, when you sinned and made those mistakes. They continue to drag you back. Because they're ancient spirits, that's their job, is to remind you of what you did, who you were, how bad you were, to keep you trapped and controlled so you never advance with God. You never grow out of it. You're just trapped. How can I get out of this? You know, I was abused as a kid and I just can't break it. It's because of these principalities, these ancient spirits that continue to bring it up to your face and bring it back and say, "You're no good, you'll never break out of this, you'll never be anybody better." And listen, these are the same spirits that were in your parents and your grandparents, and you ever hear generational curses? Because they're ancient, they've been around from the beginning. So they say, "Well, it worked on your grandparents, well, I'm just going to hit your parents and I'll just hit you too. And guess what, I'll just try it on your kids too." They've been around from the beginning, Paul said. So why does my past keep coming up? Because you're not dealing with that spirit. Amen. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new. Behold, old things have passed away. In other words, that principality, and you say, "Get back, Jack." No, I'm not that person anymore. I'm in Christ. I've been changed. The blood of Christ has changed me, transformed me. I'm different. I'm not that person anymore. You cut it out now. And as a matter of fact, I command you to release me right now. Now, it's authority that we've been saying, right? If you don't deal with it, it will keep you a slave to your past. It will keep you trapped. It will control you forever. And then you'll get to heaven and Jesus is like, "If you just would have said something." If you just would have said something. Do you realize we talked about the name? When you speak that name, That name is God. In that name is the power of God. He said, that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. No matter what is it named, above heaven or below heaven, every knee, when you speak that, just say the name. That name proves he's God, because whatever listens to that name, hears that name, is commanded in that name, it has to bow. That proves he's God. He said, I've given you that name. Go in my name. Speak the name. Whoo! All right, powers. The word powers. The Greek word here is jurisdiction. In other words, these things have jurisdiction over specific themes, like cancer, like fear. They rule this thing that attacks us. That's their this is not regional jurisdiction. This is spiritual jurisdiction. So in other words, Satan says, all right, you, for now on, I've anointed you with fear. You go. And so now this one spirit, demonic spirit, goes out and causes fear on everybody. Fear, 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 fear. You're going to catch COVID. You're going to, you know, die in a plane crash. Anything that attaches, it's got authority. That's its jurisdiction. Good? Like alcoholism. Like addictions. Like sickness. So this demonic spirit is authorized to use that. Good? Okay. Then there's rulers, and the Greek word is regional jurisdiction. It's a ruler over a certain area. So, for instance, if I said, who rules over New York City? If I said, what spirit is over New York City? What would you say? Money, greed, the love of money, right? It's the financial center, Wall Street, right? Everybody knows. That's a regional spirit, okay? If I said Miami, what would you think of? Drugs. If I said Chicago, what would you think of? Violence and murder. This is not a people thing. It's not because of the people that live there. It's a demonic spirit that is regionally operating there. Are you hearing me? Yes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not about the people. It's about the spirit. And Satan has given regional authority over those areas. Remember, the Bible says he's the God of this world. Let me take you back to Genesis 1:28. This will make sense in a minute, in a few minutes. Genesis 1:28, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let us give him dominion, right? So it was God's plan from the beginning for man to have dominion and authority. In other words, man was the ruler. When Satan came and made man fall, he became the ruler in this world. Got it?
Yes.
Now Jesus comes back and he says, I'm going to change that. But let me explain. I'm going to show you how. Then finally he says, it's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Okay? So that's just heavenly, that's spiritual demonic realm. Okay, now. So all these things are talking about rulers. When we talk about rulers, when we talk about the God of this world, we're talking about a government. So Satan has installed his government in this earth. This is important. He's installed and he's created and established his government on this earth through all these principalities and powers and rulers and regional jurisdiction. You're in charge, like you're a governor of New York. You're the governor of Miami. You're the mayor of this. So he's given demonic spirits. The Bible says this, that the physical world mimics the spiritual world. So we have a physical government. Satan has his spiritual government. Well, let me go to Isaiah real quick. Verse 9, Isaiah, Sharon, you can put up on the screen, Isaiah verse 9, verse 6, chapter 9, verse 6. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Do you remember when the wise men. I'm thinking I was going to sing a song. We three kings of Orient. Remember when the wise men showed up to Herod, right? One of the things they said is, we've come to find out where the king is born. When we talk about a king and a government, Jesus has his own government, his own kingdom. He's called the King of Kings. In other words, God has a government that he wants to put in the earth.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 1, I believe it is, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when he saw Jesus, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here comes the kingdom, baby. You don't understand. It wasn't like, oh, here's Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit, the dove fell. Oh, hallelujah. You know, a nice little bird. Make sure he doesn't poop on your head, Jesus. That's not what it was. John the Baptist jumped out of his shoes. He goes, the kingdom is here. You don't understand. The kingdom is, there's the king. He's come to rule and reign. And then Herod's like, who is this king? What? He ain't taking my kingdom. Why? Because the devil was like, oh no, we got to take this dude out. As a matter of fact, let's kill every two-year-old kid and under to kill the kids so this kingdom won't come. I was just going to say that. Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In this earth as it is in heaven. Hold on. We're not there yet. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, everybody's like leaving. What's going on? It says, he had to go bathroom? Again? No? He's just out? He's done? Oh, I'm going to have a talk with him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of his Son. So you hear in the Bible several different things, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference between the two. There's a huge difference between the two. The kingdom of God is everything. The universe, this is God's kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, the first time it was mentioned was in Matthew when John looked at Jesus and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is defined as the church. Is defined as the message of the gospel. So the kingdom of heaven is very specific to the church. It's the church's kingdom. It's heaven on earth. Now wait a minute. I'm just laying foundation.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Because now we're going to get to where you can jump and shout and run around. Matthew chapter 16. There he is. Welcome back. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. So listen, we're talking about a kingdom, right? We're talking about a government, right? So let me just drop this at you real quick, and then again, I'm just like a seed. How many times have you heard lately or since a while the separation of church and state? No? Church, you have nothing to say about this. Let's leave religion out of this. How many times have you heard that? Matthew 16. Now I'm just going to be blunt and I'm going to hit you between the eyeballs. This is, trust me, this will change your whole perspective of who you are.
Amen.
Matthew 16, ready? And I've ministered on this part before, but I've got some more detail on it. Matthew 16, ready, ready? Say I'm ready!
Yes.
Matthew 16, verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this. We're getting spiritual again, see it? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, which rock? The revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. He says, Peter, that one thing that you just did, that revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, has now put you in something I call the church. Watch this. He says, and I will say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I find it interesting that when he mentions the church for the very first time ever, he says the church will battle the gates of hell. That's what he says. He says, I'm putting this church on the earth to do one thing, to come against the gates of hell.
Yes.
Oh, he's like, I mean, gee, you don't understand the revelation in this one verse. You know, we think of the church as a great place to go on a Sunday morning. Of course it's a great place. You get to hear me. It's a wonderful place. You get to see me. People think church is a great, your building has to be beautiful because it represents God. You know, the church is it's a building. You know, it's a place to go. No! That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, this church that I'm building it to come against the gates of hell.
Amen.
That's its purpose. Do you understand that we go by very different names? We are also the bride of Christ.
Yes.
Right? What else are we?
God's adopted children.
God's adopted children. How about the body of Christ?
Yes.
We have what?
Royal priesthood.
Sheep. Listen, the Bible says we have very many different names, and those names are functions. Their functions. When we're the bride of Christ, what that means, we have to prepare ourselves for his return.
Yes.
And as a bride, we keep ourselves clean and holy and spotless because our groom is coming. Yes. And he wants all of this. It doesn't belong to somebody else.
Yes.
You understand, as a bride?
Yes.
When a bride preps herself, she's dressed in white, she's perfect, she's beautiful, she's kept herself until her man shows up. That's what we're supposed to do. Right? We're the bride. The body of Christ, that means I'm part of God. I'm part of you. We're brother's keeper. What I have, I give unto you, and back and forth, we're part of the body, what each joint supplies, right? Back and forth. Oh, but when it comes to the church, we're a totally different animal. We're not just a fun place to be on Sunday mornings. That's not who the church is. So I dug a little deeper. In 594 BC, in Athens, Greece, of course, it's Greek. Greeks invented everything. In 594 BC, a Greek man named Solon, S-O-L-O-N, he looked upon Athens and the Greeks, and he saw that they were becoming immoral and economically depressed. He saw the culture dying. And he said, I have to do something about it, and I have to fix it. And he went to the king, and he said this. He says, can we create something that I like to call the ecclesia, which is the Greek word for church. It's called the ecclesia. Remember, the Greeks invented democracy, right? This government that we have was all based on the Greeks, right? Civilization. Don't say no. You know I'm right.
I
know. I know you didn't. The Greeks invented, they developed, I don't know what you want to call, created democracy, civilization. And it was all based on the foundation of democracy was based on the ecclesia. He says here, on this rock, I will build my church. In other words, the foundation is the church. So Solon in 594 BC created this thing called ecclesia, the church. When Jesus said this, let me say this. The church, the ecclesia in Athens, Greece, was a government of every Athenian citizen, and every Athenian citizen was called to assemble. That's what ecclesia was. When there was a call, every Athenian citizen, you had to be a citizen. In other words, let me bring it to the church. You have to believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you're a citizen of heaven. Get it?
Yeah.
So he said this, and he said, in Solon, and every citizen from Athens was to show up, assemble together, and wear something red. Either a red robe, a red sash, a red rope, but red signified that you were part of the ecclesia. We've been washed in the red blood of Jesus. That makes us part of the church. That's the only way you get into the church. The moment you confess Jesus as the Lord, guess what? His blood cleanses you, and that red makes you a citizen of the church. So when Solon said this, that means that when they all got together, the Athenian citizens, they assembled. They had the right to create laws, prohibit things, or permit things. They had the right to declare war, and only if they passed it, then it became law. So whatever they said was law. Whatever they agreed to. When two or three are gathered together in my name and agree, it shall be done for them of my Father. So ecclesia was not a religion, was not a building, but it was the solemn assembly of the citizens to make law.
Amen.
We're going to make some laws tonight, man, today. We're going to make some laws today. Because it was a government that ecclesia was. So what does Jesus do? He says, I'm going to build a government on this earth that's going to make laws that's going to come against the gates of hell.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So listen, the church is not a religion. It is a government of born-again Christians that have been washed in the blood of Jesus that are created for one purpose. To permit or prohibit the things of Satan on this earth.
Amen.
Jesus said, this is how I'm going to come against Satan. Because I'm coming against... He said, hell, you better look out because here I come. I'm sending my people out, hell. Tell hell right now, hell, I'm coming for you, hell. You need to tell the devil, I'm coming for you right now, hell, devil. No, you better start being afraid. Because I'm getting revelation of who the church is. I'm not just a Sunday morning thing. I'm the government of God on the earth. Watch this. Watch. He says it. He says this. 19. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he says, I'm going to open doors for you. I'm going to show you things. Then he says this. He says, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. There's a partnership. He says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's saying, you guys are called. I'm leaving you on this earth to declare war against the gates of hell. He says, and whatever you bind, I got your back. Whatever you loose, I got your back. I'm with you. The Jewish term, listen, when Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, it is binding and loosing is a Jewish slang phrase that meant this. In government, it meant to either permit or prohibit. In other words, when you bind something, you're prohibiting it from happening. When you loose something, it means you're permitting it to happen. So what does he do? Jesus said this. Listen, you take my laws and whatever is immoral, I want you to prohibit it. This is our Constitution. Listen, the police and judges have the right to enforce the United States Constitution. They either permit or prohibit things from happening. Jesus said, here it is, I'm giving you my law. Now you permit or prohibit things from happening. Immorality, he says, you need to prohibit that from happening. He gave us a list, right? Adultery, fornication, sorcery, hatred, jealousy, right? Go down the list. He says, no, you prohibit that from happening. What have we been doing? We've been permitting it. When it comes to COVID, he says, okay, if you permit it, then go right ahead. Then it'll run rampant and become a pandemic. He said, no, church, I put you here because by his stripes I was healed. I said, lay hands on the sick shall recover. You go out and prohibit it from happening. If the government can say it's a pandemic, it's everywhere shut down, the church should rise up and say, no, we're prohibiting that from happening. We're prohibiting that spread from happening. Why? Because Jesus said when the church assembles, we have the right to legislate. Shanda. You need to start making some laws in your house. If things are going on in your house that you don't like, you need to get together and say, no, I'm prohibiting that because I'm the church here on the earth. It can't happen. No, I said, no, devil, I'm not allowing that in my house. Now let me get really political. So let's talk about abortion for a minute. And if you had one, I'm going to tell you this. One day in heaven, you're going to hold your baby. God forgives. Are you listening to me? If you've had one, God forgives. He loves you. And you're going to hold your baby in heaven one day. There is no condemnation. Okay? But if I asked you this, ready? Watch it. Let me ask you this. The Bible from the beginning is clear. The murder of babies, killing babies in the womb is murder. It's killing. Satan did it to Moses when he was around. And when Jesus showed up, right, he did it again. Said, kill every baby from 2 years old. As a matter of fact, they used to take babies and present them to the god Molech in the Old Testament as a sacrifice. So the killing of babies that America is allowing is a sacrifice to a demonic god. Again, I'm not condemning anybody. God loves you. You'll see your baby one day. And he forgives. Now, but I have to be very, politically incorrect today. Because we need to address this. If I asked you this, and I'm getting to somewhere. If I asked you this, which political party is okay and sanctions abortion? Which? Just say it. I need to prove a point. Okay, if I said that, no, wait a minute. I'm not doing this for any bad reason. I need to prove a point. If I said which political party is pro-life, which would you say? Don't you think it is demonic that Satan has taken the murder of babies and wrapped it up into a political party? I know Democrats who are pro-life. Yes. I know a lot of Republicans, especially in Norwalk, that are pro-choice, that don't give a rip. So, but what he's done, listen, and I'm going to say something. What the devil has done is he made us take sides politically because he's wrapped abortion, which is immoral according to the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven, and he's wrapped it in politically. Why? Well, church, you have nothing to say. Separation of church and state, you can't say nothing. Wow. Sorry, you can't say nothing. If you want to say something, then pick a political side. Lord have mercy. Do you see how cunning he is? We can't fall for that. You can't take a political side on this. This is a God thing. Where the church needs to stand up. Hey, if you're a Democrat, I'm a Democrat and I stand with God. It has nothing to do with political party. It has nothing. But the devil has put it, wrapped it up, so the church, hey, you church people can't tell me what to do with my body. No, God can't tell me. No, I don't believe in it. He shut us down and we bought it hook, line, and sinker. When we're the church. Come on, folks. We've been lied to become, to take sides in a political party. He made it, he made politics the new religion. You should love, if you're a Republican, love Democrats. If you're a Democrat, love Republicans. Do you know what he did with racism? He did the same thing. Come on, he did the same thing. Racism is evil. It's not about being a white Republican then you're racist. That devil is putting us against each other. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there's a principality and a power that is causing us to look at color and take sides politically. And that, if we don't, then we have no voice, according to the devil, to the world. Well, unless you're Republican, Democrat, you have nothing to say. No, I'm the church of the living God, and I'm the government of God, and I can permit and I prohibit whatever I want. Listen, the church is the most powerful kingdom on the planet. We're the most powerful kingdom on this planet. And we can say no. No more racism. No more abortion. No more destruction of buildings because the church has assembled. Woo! Come on! Woo! Church needs to rise up. And no longer, well, you and ROD, no, I'm a church. I'm the government of God on this earth. He told me to occupy until he comes back. And I'm supposed to go around and prohibiting sickness and disease. How? By laying hands on the sick and allow the power of God to minister to their bodies, raise them up again. We need to make some laws, church. We need to be legislators that God has called us to be legislators. We need to transform things. Just don't take a political side. What does God say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are the church. We are the church. We are his government. Old Testament, Jesus created his government on three people: the priest, the king, and the prophet. And the New Testament said, you know what? That didn't work too well. I'm going to make everybody part of my government. He says, wherever you go, whoever you lay hands on, whatever you, if you drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you because you're a part of my government. He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When the snake bit Paul, he said, I don't think so. Shook it off. Shake it off, baby. How many of you, listen, next time you go to pray, I don't want you to see it as I'm on my knees praying and begging God. Next time you go to pray, You're legislating. You have a voice. You make laws. You have an unsaved loved one, and they're just living like the devil. Well, you need to prohibit that action right now. And just take, nope, I'm going to prayer. What do you mean? I'm going to legislate. I'm going to make a law right now. I'm going to prohibit any member of my family to go unsaved from this point on. If you have a family member that's sick, I'm going to prohibit that. That ain't happening in my line, in my family. No, any of your kids strung out? No, none of my kids are going to be strung out on drugs. None of my kids are going to wind up in jail. I'm going to prohibit that because I'm the church. And I got the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And hell, I'm coming for you, hell. You look out, hell. How many of you want to make some laws this morning? We're just going to do it right now. Let's go make some laws. You got something going on in your life that needs to change? Well, stop permitting it. Just prohibit it. And here, the church has assembled. Right here. We're here right now to make some laws. We're going to bind. We're going to loose. Let me say this. Thank you, Lord. When you realize the power of that you can legislate, you'll change the way you think about yourself. You'll live holy. Well, I have to represent the government of God. I can't live that way anymore. I can't be harloting around on Saturday nights. I can't be drunk on the streets. I can't be foul languaging and using that language. I can't hate anymore. God has invested legislative power in me. You'll see yourself differently. And you know why we've allowed these things? Because Satan has robbed us from it. Let's make some laws, people. You ready? Stand to your feet. Let's make some laws. Let's make some laws. Let's make some laws. Listen, something you want to do right now, some law you want to create, just yell it out and we'll all agree. Just yell it out.